Let's get to our guest, Terry Spath, CIO at Zuma Wealth. So, Terry, the schizophrenic nature of the Fed statement and the Powell commentary suggests to many an issue here of some sort. Either Mr. Powell went too far or they are a divided house. How does that play out for you?
Right. Yeah, I don't think they're a divided house because the dot plots were pretty consistent, but and the Fed continues to be data dependent. The issue is that that's all backwards-looking data, and they seem in recent years to be picking one mandate rather than both of their mandates. The Fed has a dual mandate. It's low inflation and low unemployment. And for years, the message that was that they would let inflation get hot in order to lower unemployment, kept rates at zero, dumped money into the economy, and that's textbook for inflation. So now here we are on the flip side with red-hot inflation and very low unemployment, and they seem to be saying, well, we're just going to keep, you know, we're going to keep slamming on the brakes. I was going to say pedal to the metal, but I think it's really
The statement suggested that a pause to assess could be coming, and then Powell comes out with a sledgehammer.
Yeah, it was, I think he really wanted to make it clear, like, hey, don't get too excited about this. It was interesting because that's exactly what happened, is the statement was very much benign in terms of how aggressive they might be with raising rates. And I do think that we can trust to some extent that they'll continue to keep a close eye on everything. But the reality is that the Fed is a blunt instrument. They're not a laser scalpel. And I think, you know, when we're talking about 50 basis points versus 75 basis points, we're making the mistake of thinking that this is a laser scalpel, and it's not.
Well, Terry, also, you know, you say it's a, you know, it's a sledgehammer. Well, at the moment, what they're doing, I mean, it's,
that was me.
I've forgotten my train of thought, actually, Brian. What I was saying was that you know, the thing is that they are driving so hard at dealing with, not just, of course, inflation, but dealing with their own credibility, that they could, in turn, by doing that, inflict greater pain that's needed, in fact, monumental pain on the U.S. economy, really resulting in them not even being a sledgehammer, but being a steamroller.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a lot of great analogies going on, and I love the sledgehammer because, and maybe I'll throw another one in. It's, you know, they're going 100 miles an hour on a slick road, and slamming on the brakes is just, I think there's a lot of question, at least personally I am, as well as this is how we're guiding investors, is like, this could be too blunt. When you've raised rates essentially 12 times in this year, and now they haven't raised it 12 separate times, but they've done 12, 25 basis point hikes.
Sorry, we were using all sorts of analogies before. I'm just going to go out with one more about the Federal Reserve, and it was the point that Brian made last, and that was essentially speeding on a slick road. And the reason why they're speeding is because they were late, and late to the party. So they have to speed in order to try and make amends. So what I'm saying is, what are the dangers of massive policy error?
Well, I think I really do like that analogy. If you're going 100 miles an hour and you slam on the brakes, there's going to be damage. And that's, I think, what's going to happen in the economy. And I think you're bringing up a really good point, which is, you know, is this going to throw us into a recession, not just in the U.S., but globally? And I think that there's a very good risk of that. You know, when you've got a laser focus on inflation and you're kind of putting unemployment on the back burner, you know, those are trade-offs. And I don't see the Fed focusing on both at the same time when they're raising as drastically as they have, because they have to at this point.
So we took note of inflation working in Starbucks' favor. So it got me to thinking, okay, so let me set up a screen here. Companies that are recession-proof, that have pricing power, and are trading under a 14 multiple. And let's see what comes out. Oh, it says go fish.
Oh, I can.
So the question is, this is a silly, just silly me asking you the question, what do we do from here?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's such a challenging environment as it has been all year. When you've got stocks down more than 20% and you've got bonds not standing up and doing what they're supposed to do when stocks collapse, which is to be some ballast in your portfolio. You've got investors that are just, they're upset and they don't know really what to do. But there are some opportunities, I think, that are coming out of this. I mean, what we're doing with our clients right now is a bit of a barbell strategy. I mean, when you've got three to 6 months treasuries that are guaranteeing you a 4% return. That's not something that used to be interesting. Well, it wasn't even something you could do 6-12 months ago, but that's something, you know, kind of up a couple few percentage points is the new flat is the new up in this market, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So owning some treasuries for the short term in this volatility, I think, is something that makes sense for a lot of clients right now.
Well, and let's just also just take a look at, you know, it's not just treasuries, but I mean, if you're going to be looking in fixed income, you go to some of the decent high yields. I mean, some of those investment grade products, which have just slipped below the line, if you will, solid businesses, arguably, and you're looking at double digit virtually returns.
Yeah, Rashad, I mean, I think that's a great point. I mean, for individual clients, we're not buying individual high-yield bonds, but there are certainly mutual funds that are out there that make sense. I think HYG can actually make some sense. What we're really doing is a barbell strategy. So on the one end is that 3 to 6 month treasury for a guaranteed 4%. And then on the other end of the barbell is buying value stocks. You don't have to love value. You just have to buy it. So there's a lot of, you know, you were joking, I think, at the start of this, Brian, about, you know, doing some screens on, you know, what are some cheap stocks out there. And if you can hold your nose and recognize that this isn't a 30-day play, a 90-day play, this is a 12, 24-month play, there's plenty of interesting stocks out there with terrific dividend yields, with low valuations that make sense to put kind of on the other end of your risk spectrum of your portfolio.
One of the big questions I have is that if we take that the inversion of the yield curve and the 210 spread suggests recession is coming, so the question then becomes, you know, have stocks already discounted it? Because we know that sometimes by the time we know we're in recession, we're already, the stock market is already moving the other direction. How do you gauge that?
Right. Yeah, I think that the inversion of the yield curve is one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse that say there's a recession coming. There's no question about that. When the 3 month treasury is higher than the 10-year yield, you've got a recession in the next 6 months. So the question is this going to be a hard landing or a soft landing? Is this going to be a soft landing where your next door neighbor loses your job, or is this going to be a hard landing where you lose your job?
Well, absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us, Terry Spath. She is the Chief Investment Officer at Zuma Wealth, getting her take on the market.